Welcome, Luke.
Thank you, Sasha.
You happen to be the founder of Crime Story. You are an entrepreneur in your own right, and I find it to be fascinating that you worked as a detective for at least 14 years, and then over the last decade or so, you are also an English teacher. How did these
Yeah.
two career paths merge?
I think it goes back to when I was at school. I loved English, and well, in Australia, we call English literacy, or literacy we call English. So all of my classes going through high school, I loved writing. I loved everything about it. I loved reading. I had such a passion for all of that. When I left school, I actually started doing economics, quite bizarre. But we went through this era with our high school system and the ranking points and how that translated to university. And there used to be a joke that what does somebody with a Bachelor of Arts say? It was basically, do you want fries with that? We were convinced that if you did a Bachelor of Arts and anything with literacy or literature and those fine things, you never got a job other than working in Maccas. So I chased a dream that was not really a dream. But my inquisitive nature, I loved research, and I fell into being a police officer. And after a year, I got into the detectives, and I just loved it. That uncovering of or discovering of the unknown and solving things, this gigantic real life puzzle, and also obviously the thrill. I mean, there's that egotistic side where you actually feel great, but also what you bring other people in just bringing some sort of closure, obviously some of the serious things, and you bring that closure to people, and it was just this, it was this gigantic puzzle, and I loved looking for new ways to solve things. But like everything, it has an end point, and obviously it's a pretty tough and traumatic job, and you get to a point in life where, like a lot of jobs, the pressure and different things get to you, and life had a bit of a dramatic turn at about that. Yeah, about that 14-year mark for me.
So, as a detective, do you look at life as a glass half full, or there's something missing that you need to discover?
Yeah, well, I've always been and still am very, very positive. And what I actually found was, and that translates into the way I do things, but the police system, and it's probably, and I was not probably, I know it's the same worldwide, and that there's legal restraints on the way you do things, but it's not really open to new methodology. It's not really open to thinking outside the box. It's the fact that, hey, this is how we've done it for 200 years. This is how you go through the motions, and so that side can be pretty limiting. And obviously things are, there's funding and things like that as well. So and resources are limited. So for me, being so positive and having an open mindset and wanting to just be imaginative as well, I actually found that very limiting. But yeah, on a whole, it's a very negative industry. And so when I went to teaching, when I left and then went to uni and studied English literacy and teaching, and then got a master's of writing, and I got out into the world of being a teacher with high school kids, I always say that I went from the misery industry to the positivity industry, because it's just, you get to go back every day with these kids, or even now with adults in writers' groups, you get to go back every day, and you don't just get one crack at it. You keep going and going and going, and you build that relationship. And if you make a mistake, you go back the next day and fix it. So, yeah, I'm a real half, glass is half full guy, and I'm now in, I think, in the industry where it's supported for that too. So for me, Sasha, it's a great change.
Wonderful. What were some of the research skills that you learned as a detective that you were able to integrate into your writing career?
Yeah, I think the first one was, it's funny, in a lot of police forces around the world, you have this, the public tends to have this image of a detective being a little bit separate to a uniformed officer, whereas we're all police. My wife was a police officer, and I always say that she was one of the greatest police officers that I'd ever worked with and ever seen work. She was brilliant. But she never chose to go down that path of being a detective. So I just want to dispel any of the stuff we see about detectives being the elite and all of that. The only difference is the detectives have a lot more time to work a crime. So the uniform guys, they're the ones that are out there busting their backsides, facing the angry men, doing the hard work on the street, and they do the job, and then they turn it over. They turn it over, and the detectives come in with a bit more time. And a great old mentor of mine, as I was training to be a detective, he said the biggest difference between a detective and a uniform, he said, is we learn where to find the answer. And that's always stayed with me. And you would see that because we had that time. And yeah, we do that extra training, but it's a matter of we don't have the answer. We don't know everything, not by a long shot. And we don't know any more. We just know different things. But we've got the time and we're trained in a way that we know, okay, I need to research that. I need to go a little deeper into that and follow that lead. And that's the biggest thing, knowing where to find the answers.
The students are introduced to the experiential aspect of learning by asking the right questions. How have your
Very.
questions also evolved as your careers have evolved?
Oh, that's a great question. So my questions evolve. And again, my questions will change. And I've never had a session and I've never had a class where I don't change and I don't change my question because and again, just like a crime has so many different areas to it. They have different motives. They have different opportunities. And they have different abilities, and they're the three things that you need to constitute a crime. And teaching and learning and writing is the same. We all have different experiences. We all have different context, perspective. So whilst I might start down a particular path in scaffolding or setting the scene, I soon learn to just put the brakes on and see where the students go. So my questions, which are always open-ended, and they will change depending on the ability of the participant in that group, whether they need more encouragement and more bridging to get to where they could possibly go. So my questions evolve with that. And the one thing I've learned is that everybody out there has got an incredible talent and an incredible brain and such a beautiful way of thinking that for most people, they don't understand it. They don't understand how valuable they are. And so I've learned a lot of the time to just sit back, open the floor and say, what do you want? What do you see? And then just be guided by that, as opposed to having an opinion and making all the evidence fit the crime. And as you'd be aware, when you go in as a detective with that mindset and you make the evidence fit the crime, that's when you're going to get in trouble. And it's the same with research. When people write essays, they go in with a mindset. They don't let the evidence and the research guide their findings. They may start with a thesis statement, and they try and make the evidence fit that. So it's all about being open-minded.
In your opinion, how do you feel the craft of writing has evolved with technology and having access to many learning tools? At the same time, it could also be very confusing for people compared to when we grew up being taught in the traditional classroom setting.
Yeah, look, and we're facing that at the moment, Sasha, with the whole ChatGPT, the artificial intelligence, and that whole scenario. And I'm reading scary things about China and India as well, and how it's jeopardizing so many PhDs at the moment with this artificial intelligence just spitting out all this stuff. And 10 years ago, I think I first became aware of Grammarly and programs like that. And look, and they are just a movement ahead again from spell check and things like that, except it's getting more ubiquitous with the whole computing thing and more in your face, more real time. And so, yeah, it is eroding those skills that you and I learnt with. And it's something we've got to face. I don't have a hard and fast feeling on that at this stage because I work with a lot of low literacy learners as well. And for them, and for students and adults with dyslexia and low literacy issues with that, I also see the rewards. And again, this is that glass half full thing, Sasha, that they can still get a story out in some way. I mean, I would rather them record their story like this on a podcast or on a recording device and then work with someone to edit that. But it's still another way of getting a story out in some means and getting their voice. Yeah, the degree of how much their ethereal voice is actually in that or not is very questionable, and we do need to put things in place, but we can't stand in the way of progress. But yeah, ChatGPT and those programs, I'm not sure what the future holds for that.
It will be interesting. You make a very valid point. Luke, you also have a master's of writing. What was your experience like acquiring the master's? And was there something new you discovered about yourself in the process?
Yes. So when I did a 4-year degree to become an English teacher, and when you look at all the subjects and things you've got to do in that, there was, I think it was something like 6 specialist literature subjects to choose from to get my major. And when I finished my degree, I sat back and looked at it and thought, you know what, there's about 30 different options and I want to study all of them. But you only have to do so many to get your degree. And then when I stepped out into, well, the real world, into teaching again, I would then go a couple of years down the track and you do professional development like every industry does. And so much of it was just the legalistic side, and basically covering your backside. It's the same in every industry. You've got to go through that stuff. And I realized that we stopped learning. And teachers, and like a lot of craftsmen, you go into a particular industry because you absolutely love it. So I went into teaching because I love literacy and I love English. But all of a sudden, they said, okay, you've done your learning and that's it. And that wasn't enough for me. And I absolutely loved it. So I thought, I'm going to go back and do a master's. A lot of colleagues and one of the big pushes in Australia is to do your master's of teaching. To me, that, okay, it's all about pedagogy and the way to teach. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is a lot of people at the age of 21, 22, tacking the master's on at the end of that. And they'll do subject specialties such as, you know, school leadership, but they won't be in a position of leadership for 10, 20 years. So I don't see the point to that. So for me, I wanted to chase what I was actually passionate about. So for me, it was a Master of Arts in Writing. I went into children's literature. I went into obviously the crime genre. I went into celebrity and all these different elements. And the biggest thing was editing. The lessons that I learned with editing was just an absolute standout. And what I found that the further you go in the education system, and my daughter has just finished her high school journey and now just started uni last week. And what we see, the further you go in the education system, it gets more refined. So you're getting more subject specialty. You go from the taster of every subject in high school, then you go to uni and you do, you know, again, a number of subjects. You do communication and different things with your specialty. Then when you get to master's, you're specializing even further. And obviously the next step is PhD with things like that. So to me, that was the greatest benefit of anyone thinking of doing a master's. You've got more choice and you can really focus on what you're passionate about. And it doesn't feel like study or work when you're at that stage.
Putting aside your passion and teaching, in your spare time, what genre of writing do you enjoy reading?
Crime. Yeah, and I'm a huge fan. And it's funny because traditionally you'll see there's quite a bit of colloquial opposition between detectives and lawyers. But I love John Grisham. I will never get sick of reading John Grisham. And again, it's that extra stage of the legal issues, the debate and the research and the depth that goes into interpreting the evidence and then presenting it at court. So I love a good courtroom drama, anything that thinks. I love my David Baldacci's and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I just can't seem to break away from it. I love it.
On behalf of students, I might as well inquire, what recommendation do you have when students run into a writer's block? Do you have any strategies to share?
Oh, I certainly do. It's just keep writing. Don't put the pen down. Let it flow. Let whatever comes into your head, just keep writing, even if it's disconnected to what you've got, to what you're trying to write. Thoughts are coming into your head. Get the pen. There's this. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, or a neuroscience, neurotechnology, whatever. But I reckon one day we'll see a link between the brain and the pen. And when you write and you've got that flow, it's just a matter of basic movement, and then ideas will come and it'll keep flowing. And at the end of the day, you can't go back and rework something if you don't have it on paper. So you might write a page. There might be one line in that that is the absolute nugget of gold that we are looking for. And for students, if you've got a teacher, they can't direct you and guide you anymore unless they see what you've got on paper. So don't hold back. Don't let fear hold you back. Get it out on paper because, like I said, in that page of what you might think is scribble, we're the ones who are trained to know what's good and how to take you that next step. So just put everything out, and I can guarantee that 99% of teachers are supportive, and they want to get that, then no one is ever going to ridicule that. And they will find that one thing and they will take that. It's all about positivity and building from that. But just get it out and edit later. Like, you just get words out there right till your hand drops off and worry about editing later.
Learning entails trial and error experiences. Do you believe there is any such thing as a writing mistake?
No, definitely not, because every form of writing is different. And again, like I said, what you see as a mistake, how can it be a mistake? Just if something's edited and you go back and you rework it, that can't be a mistake because it's out there. You've got it out there. Okay, it's like walking. Yeah, you're going to trip over a few times. You're going to fall at some stage, but you've got to walk. You've got to get out there and try it. And you don't sit back at the end of your life and say, geez, I made a mistake walking because I tripped in a pothole one day or I fell over as a baby. You don't look back and say that. Writing is exactly the same. There is no mistake. It's getting ideas out there. Also, writing is done in so many forms and for so many different audiences. And it is your voice. It's like poetry, that most poetry, free verse, free form poetry, okay? It's you putting your voice out there, putting your voice on paper. You can throw away the rules. There are rules of grammar for certain circumstances, but there's no mistake. Again, it's like running. You can run left, right, up, down, across fields. It's only a rule when you are in your lane in a race and you have to stay within your lane. Outside of that, you can run wherever you want. And I see writing as exactly the same.
In our respective careers, we learn life lessons. Is there any humbling lesson that you have learned among your two career paths?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for me, it's I don't have all the answers. I'll be lucky to have 1% of the answers. And again, it's trial and error. And I think, like most people, when you're young, you are concerned about image and making mistakes and doing things. And you don't have the answers. You like to think you do. And the older I get, I turned 49 this week. And wow, the older I get, the more I realize I have fewer and fewer answers. And the flip side of that is I take on more challenges and more risks, such as, I got to a point last year and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this business a go and set about setting this. I saw the feedback, saw how well it was working in all the different schools and places I went to, and said, you know what, just going to back myself, have a go. And that's the most humbling thing, is that as a teacher, as a mentor, a leader, I've encouraged so many other people in every field I've ever worked in to have a go. And I sat back and went, you know what? Take some of my own advice and do that, because I don't have all the answers. I don't tell you, but at least say I tried.
Absolutely. Therefore, as an entrepreneur, a teacher that you are, and of course, I believe once you are a detective, you never leave being a detective. Do you have any productivity tips in your day-to-day life when you honor multiple roles?
Yeah, I'm a chronic list maker. So I will have paper diaries. I'll have sheets of paper. I've got the world's biggest whiteboard planner in front of me sitting here in my office, and I write things down. And for me, it's a sense of achievement. You give yourself what we call a couple of gimmies, a couple of easy ones. Might have a list of a few things to do for the week or even a day, and you get that momentum going. So yeah, cross that one off. Yep, cross that one off, and it does. And it builds momentum. And it gives you a positive sense of worth and feeling that you are achieving something. So, and how you break that down, is completely up to you. It sort of works a lot along with the SMART goals, and process goals and things like that. But yeah, to me, it's very important that I keep organized and feel that I'm actually getting somewhere.
You have company in that department. I love writing down the list. And finally, Luke, you are welcome to share with audiences what you do and where people can find you.
Excellent. Well, I am available on my website is crimestory.com.au. I'm on the social media. I'm on Insta and Facebook with Crime Story Australia. And what I do is I teach experiential learning, and we major or we concentrate on creative writing. So I have these mock crime scenes that I set up. So I use these gigantic series of 6 by 2.5 meter backdrops. We have exhibits ranging from, we have ballistics, we have fingerprints, we have amount of items, we have shell casing, blood splatter patterns, you name it. We have all these exhibits and we have authentic forensic equipment to examine it. So we go through a series of problem-solving skills, and as we do it, we teach experiential learning. And it's as basic as you may picking up an object, feeling it, smelling it, and we describe our actions as we go. So we cover authentic dialogue, we cover sensory imagery, we cover procedural narrative, and all these different forms. But it's experiential. You're actually doing it. You are out of your seat. You are a detective. You play that part. And you learn, you cooperate, and you work and collaborate with the other teams of forensic investigators as you form, and you come up with your opinions, and you learn to write narratives in that form. It's and again, the most enlightening thing is when you will see the person who feels that they have the least to offer. They're not the superstar of a class or a gathering, or even when we do corporate events, they're not the CEO. They may be the secretary, who sits or the front of house staff, and they pop up with the most incredible solution to one of these crimes. And it's important because everyone learns to listen, and we go through that and we record all of that, and it just comes out the most incredible narratives.
Luke, thank you for sharing your expertise and enlightening us today on Writers Series.
You are more than welcome. And I have a special offer. I'll be running a Zoom session in the next month. So if listeners out there would like to just jump onto Crime Story Australia on Facebook, say hi and leave their contact details. I'll be running live. Well, depending where you are in the world, I'll try and find a time zone friendly compromise for stateside followers. And we're going to do a live forensic session, maybe run some ballistics and do some things like that, maybe examine a phone for DNA or fingerprint evidence. And we're going to build a short dialogue around that. So I'm going to be running it on Zoom. So if your listeners want to jump on and register with that, and I'll get in contact.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, Luke.
Thank you, Sasha. Thanks very much for the time.